We got to figure out how to do this during the day.
Well, yeah,
you don't have lunch? You could talk for 30 minutes during your lunch?
No, I'm kind of like, I can eat lunch. Doesn't mean like I'm getting calls. Like shit's always happening during the day.
You don't have an important job or anything.
Yeah, I know, right? There's no free time. Plus, I'm not gonna be fun during the day, at all.
I'm not fun at night.
You're gonna bring
the fun.
Do you want to do F1 first, or do you want to talk about that fantasy football that infiltrated baseball first?
Let's start with the F1.
F1. All right. So, let's start. How did you get interested in F1?
COVID. I was stuck in my room, had nothing to do. You guys talking about watching stuff, and I binged the... I don't even remember what it's called. Netflix? Strive to Survive. Yeah, Strive to Survive. And I binged it that Sunday morning up until the race. And then I watched the race. And I didn't even really watch the race. I was kind of just checking back and forth between that and it's probably NBA playoffs. But and then you mentioned starting the fantasy thing. And then I got into it.
Yeah, so like, you know, Hoshley actually is the one who got well. Hoshley, one of my med school friends, Monish, he was watching it before, and then I think Hoshley started watching it a little bit around, like, you know, independent of that, but then they all started talking about it. So she had watched, I think, at least the previous season, not the previous two seasons. And then, like, you know, I'm very particular about the shows. Like if we start a show together and I'm like, you know, don't get me into a show and then like watch it without me, like just don't get me into it, you know, like leave me out. But anyway, she's like, this is a show that we can watch and you don't really pay attention a whole lot, yada yada yada. So it started off like that, and then it draws you in. Like it's very well made, and like nothing about racing at all. I still don't know anything about the other types of race out there. I know Formula One, and I get it. And so long story short, I was hooked. I got drawn into the theatrics of the drama that goes on into it. I find it intriguing, the setup for it, as far as, like, you have 10 teams. Each team has two drivers, and there's clearly tiers of teams within it. Like, if you're Haas, like, you're never going to win anything right now. No, Williams, like, lucky if you finish the race. It seems like,
I mean, I understand that how it is, but why though?
Why? I just it's based on money, and you also, you know, I don't know all this, but like the race, the there's clearly, you know, the teams with the highest amount of money usually have the best engineers and the best design of the cars. And on top of that, you have the drivers. And the drivers, there's a certain level of talent that comes along with it. And then the top teams also poach that talent too. So, for example, like Lewis Hamilton, who was having a terrible season this year, but like, you know, was on like 8 years in a row. He didn't start with Mercedes. I forgot where he started with, but he was poached from Mercedes. So the same thing is like the second driver this year for Mercedes is George Russell. George Russell last year was on Williams. He was finishing, I don't know, 15th or higher in the rankings. But there was like this, everyone knew that he was going to leave that. And then where was he going to go? Because there was some type of talent that he had. There was some type of talent recognized. Everyone knew that he was going to, you know, move up the ranks to a better competitor, essentially. And long story short, I think like, he also was in like the Mercedes, like I don't know how to describe it besides like minor leagues. Like he actually did a race for Mercedes the year or two before when as a substitute. So there was a logical jump for him to go to Mercedes. But anyway, you know, there's the big dogs at the top of it, and then you have like middle tier ones, and you have the lower ones, and that's how I see it. New person over the past year or two, and what I understand.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I literally only been into it for about a month. I mean, I can see, especially doing like the fantasy part of it, I'm definitely trying to, I'm learning more about, you know, strategy and like, you know, how, at least who's competitive in it. And it definitely is only a three-team race, you know, between Red Bull, Ferrari, and even Mercedes, just because they've been so dominant the last, you know, decade. And even last year where they kind of pushed it to the end to try to get, you know, did they win last year? Mercedes? Who won last year?
Well, it depends what you're talking about. Because there's the constructor.
Regardless. Fine, yeah.
No.
So you get what I'm saying, though.
But no, I'm saying there's the constructor championship and the driver championship. So Mercedes won the constructor championship, but Verstappen won the driver championship. So, and Verstappen's part of Red Bull. So
yeah, exactly. So those three teams are the main horses. Like, everyone else is just an afterthought, you know, like as far as
and
chance to win it.
And Ferrari wasn't even really, it was really just between Red Bull and Mercedes last year. Like, Ferrari wasn't in it at all. And McLaren, like, has, you know, taken another step to be up there this year. So it's a little bit more intriguing this year because it's kind of like Mercedes isn't in it now, but
you can't count them out.
Yeah, the season's really long. Like, it's, I had no idea.
Is it 22 races?
22, and I mean, there's a formula. It's 2 weeks on, 1 week off, and there's like a, there's a break, there's a month break halfway through, I think in August or something.
Nice. And like, it's, you know, it's hard watching a car race, but even, I guess, in Monaco last week, like, there's not much really going on. If you just like from the outside looking in, like a race, there's no, you know, race cars overtaking each other, and it's kind of just follow the leader. But there is so much more that goes into it once you start learning about it, as far as like the weather and what tires use and all this. And like, it's hard, I guess, like the entry into becoming a fan of it is, it's, you have to like really immerse yourself into it, you know. So
yeah, but
I can see why it's, when we brought it up to our friend, you know, the Skokie Heads group, it's like, I can't stand just watching cars go around in a circle, like, blah, blah, blah. Just race cars, not for me, but I don't know. I've gotten into it. I enjoy it.
Monaco is also, is a, you know, and I'm not going to pretend like I am an expert by any means, because I'm not. So I'm just going to base it off of a few things that I observed and realized. So number one, like, Monaco is one of the oldest race car tracks in Formula One. So it's very narrow, very windy. And there isn't a whole lot of areas to overtake racers there. So the fact, you know, the whole thing that went on with that race with, like, you know, the delayed start, and then, the, you know, like, Ferrari's strategy was just terrible because, you know, clearly Red Bull had a better strategy because, you know, the Ferrari was it 1 and 2, and then they lost those places. Or at least they lost the lead to Red Bull, because basically Sergio Perez changed his tires earlier and ended up being an advantage, and then everyone kind of fell behind. But long story short, people don't usually change pole position, race positions that much in Monaco. There's not just that much room for it. So other races, especially newer races where it's a little bit wider, you don't have as many turns. The overtaking is a little bit more to happen. But Monaco is, like, the thing is, like, it's just a fucking gorgeous place to watch. Like, it's breathtaking. Like, I was excited just to see the sights, you know.
I'm excited to see the castle this weekend.
Who's there? I don't know anything about this track, so.
I've listened to a few podcasts. That's how much I'm into this now, is I've spent time listening to people talk about it.
It'll blow my mind in 1 second. The podcast for the interest in the sport or to help with your fantasy team?
Both.
Interesting. Okay. So that leads into the fantasy. So, you know, there's one day I'm driving to work and I'm just like, you know what? Like, for Formula One, you know, like, what's out there? And so, I mean, there's not much, but I found this, and you know, as people are finding out, there's a lot of nuances to how this goes, and a lot of things to it, essentially. One of the things that, you know, you quickly found out is, you know, you can only make so many moves before you get penalized.
Yeah. So that's ridiculous. So to my defense, this is what I was doing. Which you can do. I was just trying to mix and match the lineups to see which lineup I like the most.
But yeah,
there's an X on the app and a back. If you hit the X, you have to log all the way back in. So I did that a couple times just by my first reaction is X. Yeah. And then instead of hitting the back button, I hit save. And then I realized, I can go back and do it. So if this is worth money, I would probably go Tommy Pham on your ass, slap you in the face and tell you not to mess with my money and give you my 30 points back. It's Tommy Pham, right?
It's Tommy Pham, yes.
Yeah, all right, but so we'll talk about that later. But you get what I'm saying. Like, if this was worth for money, I would probably cry, like, this website, it sucks. And obviously, I wasn't trying to get any advantage by using my 30 points. So I am in first place, and I should have 30 more points. Just, I'll leave that there.
Well, let's go back. Let's, you know, let's take a quick, I have the website open, and I'm going to look quickly at the first. So, you know, we started this a little bit late in the season. So the first race was in Spain, and, you know, to my surprise, my lovely wife finished number one. I'm going to bring up her lineup here right now. So remember, going back to this race, this is when Leclerc, like, he had a malfunction in his engine. So he was knocked out towards the beginning of the race. And I think he was in first when it happened, which was unfortunate. So that worked in her favor big time, because her lineup consisted of George Russell, which is the second racer, or one of the racers for Mercedes. I shouldn't say second, because he's doing better than Hamilton. Leclerc, who I think everyone has on their team for the most part, and most people have as their turbo driver. Valtteri Bottas. Albon and
Magnussen.
And then the key to it was having Red Bull as their constructor. So, like, I say that because I believe that was, you know, there are streaks involved. So, like, there's qualifying streaks and racing streaks. So basically, if a racer qualifies five races in a row, getting to the third qualifying round, there's a bonus points for that. And constructor, if they, same thing with if you finish in the top 10, five races in a row. Constructor, same thing, but it applies three times in a row as far as qualifying and finishing. I think if your racer, both racers finish in the top 10. So Red Bull, actually I can click on it maybe, see the points. Yes, here we go. So the reason why they ended up with 94 points that week, which was absurd. Because
I switched to Red Bull after week one because they're in the front runner right now, and like you got to get those points.
Yeah, it's an interesting conundrum there, you know, because they cost a lot of money. They cost a lot of money.
They do. They get you a lot of points. That's what happens. You spend a lot of money, you get a lot of points.
Fair enough. So she came in first. She had an 8-point lead over a friend, Chris. Chris is a friend from residency who came in second. Matty had finished decently at third. Granted, fourth, me at fifth, and then, you know, you bring it up the rear because you got penalized 30 points.
So where do I fall if I didn't have that penalty?
If you didn't get, you would have had 121, and that would have put you would have been in sixth place.
So it's not that big of a drop off between sixth and last. 30 points, I guess 30 points is a lot, but that was ridiculous.
It's early now. It's early.
Yeah,
you know. So how'd you get from buddy?
I pushed all the buttons and I got what's it called, the mega card, Megatron, mega what?
You're the first one to bring out the Mega Driver.
So the Mega Driver, you get one per season. Is that it?
You get two per season, one to use in the first half, one to use in the second half. So the, and that's divided by the summer break, which I believe is after the race in Hungary. So, and let's take a look. Who was your Mega Driver?
Carlos?
Sainz, which was huge. Absolutely right. Huge. Like,
so, like, if you use this, you have to hit with it. I hit it. Now you guys have to choose, and hope that person doesn't drop out of the race or, you know, yada, yada, yada. So I feel pretty good that I used it and I hit.
Thing that would have been better is if you would have put it on Perez, because he ended up winning the race.
I feel like if you get 100 points from a driver.
Oh yeah, I mean it was you. I mean you played it kind of flawless. The fact that, like, you know, from last to first, and you're now. I mean, you're. Oh wait, hold on. That was just for. Hold on. Let me look at the overall. Because, I mean, put it in perspective, you had 268 points. The next highest had 187 that week.
Nice.
So, but on the season, I mean, you're at 359, and Poschley and Chris are tied at second at 317. But once again, you use your Mega Driver. So, but you hit on
right.
So, I mean, it was a good play.
If they use their Mega Driver and they get 60, you know, all summer time, you know.
This is where strategy starts to come into play right now. Like, when to use the Mega Driver, you know, obviously. So to give some reference, there's a Turbo Driver, which you can use every week, but it has to be someone who costs 20 million or less. So I'm pretty sure almost every single person has Leclerc as their Turbo Driver, because he's very close to winning the race every week. And I'm pretty sure he's the only one who's under 20, who's actually position to win each week. And then the Mega Driver is anyone, but you can only use it once each half of the season. And then you also have the wild card. Wild card is?
I don't.
Wild card is so, you know how you're allowed to make six moves? You know, six moves for free before you get penalized points before the next race?
Moves. Three moves.
Six.
Three moves.
Six.
It's three, and then they start taking 10 points away from you for the rest of the moves.
Is it really?
Yeah. How do you think I lost 30 points? You get three free moves, and then everyone after that's 10 minus 10 points.
What? I thought it was six.
You can use six, but they start penalizing you after three.
Oh, okay. Then I have to look back. Then, hold on. I have to reread the, where's the rules?
Yeah, I didn't read any rules. This is just by trial and error.
Oh, I read the rules.
Mostly error.
Let me find them.
As soon as you said there was no money on this, I wasn't wasting my time reading the rules.
Oh, come on. You got to read the rules.
Or email. Learn by trial and error. What's the wild card?
Allows you to make 12 substitutions for free in the race.
The wild card does?
Yes.
Can I use it retroactively and get my 30 points back?
No.
Why? This website can't do that? Let's use my fantasy league.
Hey, man, I'm not taking any hits for this. I found something. I didn't do too much.
All right, you're the Mike Trout of fantasy commissioners.
Oh no! Don't even. Let me see.
We'll fall asleep.
Oh, you're right. Okay. You read this more than you know.
Yes. I didn't read it.
Yeah, but three substitutions each week are free with additional incurring a penalty of minus 10 points for. Okay, so all right. I did not realize that.
You should be penalized for not knowing the rules.
No. I picked a good team to begin with, and I'm happy with it. So,
well, it's not as good as mine.
Actually, it's better than yours. You just used your Mega Driver. So,
when you use your Mega Driver and we're even playing field, my team will still be better than yours.
That sounds like what Costa said. He claimed that he was gonna be at first place after this week, after the most recent race, and instead he's dead last.
Yeah.
Dead last. Let's look at his terrible mistakes. Let's look at this right now. What did he do? Oh, you know why? Because he got happy with his finger too. He made too many moves. He got penalized 20 points. And two of his racers got negative points because he had both racers from Haas. Number one.
Yes, because he loaded up on somebody else then.
Don't choose Haas.
I would take Haas and to be able to have, Red Bull and Ferrari guys.
I mean, it's
do what you got to do, man.
It's the same thing as if you're gonna compare it to like fantasy football and doing an auction draft. Is like, you want stars and scrubs, or do you want people in the middle that are all consistent? How are you going to do it?
I don't think you can compare that with this because there's clearly, like I mentioned before, there's like three teams that are like contenders that are going to compete to win each race. Everyone else
right.
is just.
Right. But you, I mean, well, I. Fair enough. Okay. So it's not completely like. In order to have it, you have to have some mix of Mercedes, Ferrari or Red Bull, but how much of that are you willing to? How much of that do you need to have, and which one, which pieces? There's an art to it.
There's also I'm giving you a prototype a blueprint, if you will, of how to do it. You just take a look at my last roster, then you can figure it out. No comment.
I'll look at it.
I mean, at this point, if I have a lead, I continue just to put out a combination of the teams that are gonna win. I don't know how I can. I guess unless they crash and stuff. I don't know.
Well, let's see.
DNPs, DNFs.
Let's see how good it is. Let's take away. So looks like signs. 102. So let's see. See how good it really is. Because we can figure out what
you're not taking away my whole 100 points. You're just taking away.
I'm taking away, even if I didn't use it,
I would still get 30, 20, 30, whatever points.
You get 30. Yeah, I would say it would be 34 points. 102. So you had 200. Yeah. All right, I think 200 still would have put you atop of the thing. So, let's see, yeah, 200 would have done it.
Did I impress you?
Yeah, I don't know what to say after that. I kind of got foot and mouth syndrome right now.
I love it. I'm so glad we did this. This is the only reason. This moment right here is the only reason why I wanted to do this pod tonight.
See, I told you I'd bring the fun. See, aren't you alive now?
Yeah, now I'm not gonna be able to fall asleep.
Come on.
Yeah. So I mean, I got lucky, obviously. I think pivoting off of Max, but still keep. I had Max on my team, and I got rid of him so I can get the Red Bull contractor, which was going to give me a ton of points anyways. And then because Red Bull just dominates anyways, I put in Perez, who's a lot cheaper. yeah, it worked out really well. I mean, I know that I looked at your roster. You had Ferrari contractor and both drivers. And, you know, I kind of thought, I was like, well, Red Bull is kind of like the top dog. Let's get them in right there. And the fact that Max didn't, what did he finish, third? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, even if Sean Clair didn't drop down to fourth, I had him. So I was in a pretty good spot no matter what. And it worked out that Perez, you know, Perez winning it all obviously helped me and me putting the mega card on. So yeah, I got definitely got lucky. And you could see that I got some guys that did absolutely nothing. But like if you, you know, pepper your, the rest of your roster with top dogs, they'll make up for it easily.
Yeah. You know, I didn't realize this, that you just said it out loud, is that having, I have both drivers and Ferrari constructors. So I have all my eggs.
So with like the, it's with a dysfunctional, like just as I'm learning more and more about this Ferrari team, they're just like, they don't do well under pressure. Like they're great in qualifiers. Like when it's like, there's no decisions needed to be made, but as soon as the race starts and like they start panicking and they seem like they make all kinds of bad decisions.
And I mean,
meanwhile, Red Bull is just like calm, cool, collective, reacting and not, you know, like responding. Like just, yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why Red Bull and Mercedes are at the top. Like they're experienced and they have the best of the best. And they know the race better than anyone else. Like I'm going to get people that I thought I figured that Ferrari had entered into that top tier. So I was like, all of them cheaper price than Red Bull essentially. So let me get them. And then I can fill up the rest with people that can still, that I think will score me points better than the other scrubs that are out there.
Yeah. And if they didn't have that pit fiasco where they told Leclerc not to come in after he went in, it may cost him the lead. You know, they could have ended up winning it anyways, 1-2, and then you would have. I would look like an idiot with what I had set up.
Not necessarily. I mean, Red Bull is, you know, what I'm seeing. It's interesting because, like, I think I was talking to Mehdi about this, and he was blowing his whole load on all drivers, and then I think his constructor is, I think he's got a terrible constructor, if I remember correctly. His constructor is Alfa Romeo. Like,
ouch.
But I think he had like both Ferrari and both Red Bull drivers. But I think the constructor is probably going to get you the most.
Especially if you get one that has two guys that finish in the top three or two plays. Like, it's just like double dipping. And like, yeah. I don't know. I can't see myself using a constructor besides the top three, and unless Mercedes isn't like a historically one where they have won like 10 years in a row. I don't even know if I would use them, but yeah.
I mean, if you give me something to think about, I might have to. So the wild
card. Yeah, of course. Just like fantasy football, I talk on here and then everyone else gets better. It makes things harder for me.
Anyone else in this league is anyone else on this is going to have to do it. I'm trying to convince Posh to listen to our podcast because it's going to be about Formula One. So we'll see if
that was another reason why I would like to say hi to our new listeners. We might get a couple new ones now. We're going to move up to 11 listeners now, 12 maybe.
Like us on Apple Podcast.
You don't waste your time. Just respond in the email. That's all I'm looking for is I like listening to you guys talk about cars driving fast.
Do you like appreciate my emails that I send out for the league? Or do you not read them all?
I do. What are you talking about? Didn't I respond to you like instantly on the first one?
Yes, you did. You did. But I know that sometimes when things are too long, sometimes you don't read them all. So that's why.
No, but that guy is.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do. I enjoy them, and I do like interaction. I know Poshley had replied one, and I thought about replying. Maybe now, especially if you have some listeners, I'd be more likely to reply to an email. But yeah, I'm kind of behind the scenes. I'll read it. I'll send you a personal DM instead of replying to the mess. But if there was a lot of discussion and stuff in there, like I don't know a lot of those people either. So a lot of your doctor friends.
Probably gonna get more obnoxious as the time goes on.
Yeah, good. This race this weekend, there's a castle, and there's a couple of like 90 degree turns. That's about all I know. Hairpin turns, I think they call them. And then there's definitely some straightaways though, that where there could be some overtakes. There's also another interesting fact that this is a relatively new, maybe 6 or 7 years old, this course, and no one has won it more than once.
So if you want
to go look back and the past winners, maybe select someone that hasn't won it.
Interesting. Well, did you make any changes to your team?
Not yet. But I need to do that by. Tomorrow's Thursday.
No. No, you have to do it by. So it just depends on the setup. So most races, there's practice Friday, qualifying Saturday, race Sunday. So you have to have the lineups locked before the qualifying race.
Yeah, I was going to say I wouldn't. That's why I said practice tomorrow. I think I heard them say like the practice is an indication of like if you really know the racing, like how they handle the turns and stuff like that. But I'm not at that point yet. But I mean, I'll probably try to see how practice went, if there's any like thing that stood out. But I thought about making some minor tweaks to it, but we'll see.
I didn't change my lineup from first week to second week. I don't know if I'm going to change it yet.
So the thing, how I learned it's three moves and then you get penalized after that is because after the first week, I mean, I didn't have that bad a week if you take away the 30 points and all 6 points, but I definitely noticed where I can improve and I started making moves. And then I realized that if I did that fourth one, if I hit save, do that fourth move, it says minus 10 points. If I didn't hit save, and then I was like, okay, I only got three moves to improve this. So each week, you know, you have to, you know, like use three moves and otherwise you're getting penalized.
Yeah. Unless you use your wild card. Then you're good. Then you can reset and you can use the reset your whole team essentially. So,
Do you get that once for the year or?
Thing is the mega driver once per, one in the first half of the season, one in the second half.
Okay, so you can reset it again the first half and second half?
Correct. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because then, you know, it means that, like, lineup that you put up at the very, like, for the, before, you know, the beginning of the fantasy season is setting the groundwork.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, and you got to, I think you have to start with the contractor. Like, you have to get, who you think's gonna win, right? You don't want to. Yeah, I don't know. I disagree with Mehdi's decision. I don't know if he's gonna listen to this because it's about F1. But it'll be interesting to see if he changes because he didn't make changes. Did you go through and see what if people made changes?
I didn't. I mean, you have to go.
I mean, like another strategy would be now that I have the lead, if people aren't making moves, I can just put the lineup in to make sure that I, you know, don't get passed up. I don't know. Yeah, it seems like a lot to look into.
I mean, you know, but I will say the thing that is nice about this is that it's very long. The season starts in February and ends in, let's see. Can I look? The schedule should be out here.
Starting in February is cool because that's like a break after football.
It's like the complete, you know, downtime of the year where there's nothing going on.
I mean, basketball, I like fantasy basketball. Never really got into fantasy baseball. But this is so far so good. I mean, I do like the 2 weeks on, 1 week off too, because it's kind of like nice to have a break from it. And like, especially like, I don't know, like for me, going from last to first and knowing that I had like a whole week to enjoy where I was and didn't have to, you know, make any adjustments and just enjoy being in first place.
Yeah. So let's see. Okay. So the first race officially was March 18th. Sorry, there was a couple.
Your birthday.
Yeah, there you go. Your birthday weekend.
Thank you.
That when you were, very low scoring on your Whoop. Was the first race.
Right. Remember, I mentioned to you today that was that week. That peak for my respiratory rate was definitely Meikle's birthday party that we went out for dinner. That's where that peak was from. We went hard that night.
Well, YOLO, man.
Yeah. I went pretty hard on you on the Whoop this week. I put the full court press on you.
I'm thinking about it. So Hungary is officially the halfway point. So that's the weekend of July 29th. Takes a month off and resumes a month later in August. And then the final race is in Abu Dhabi in right around Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Crazy. It's so long.
Thanksgiving.
I know. What's cool is that, I'm not going to the actual race this year. I'm just going to the qualifying in Texas, or in Austin, and that's the 19th race, and there's 22 total. So, like, obviously as the season goes on, like, races mean more. So, like, you know, there's going to be drama building up to it.
For sure. All right, any other F1 tidbits?
Just say, everyone, read your rules.
Trial and error.
Trial and error.
What is reading the rules get you? Fourth place? Trial and error? Sitting pretty in first right now.
It's a long season.
Just smashing buttons, trying to figure out what they do.
We'll see.
That app is pretty bad though. That's I try not to go on it because I got to log in 15 times and
it stays logged in for me.
Every time I do something, I feel like every time I'm on it, I have to like log in, back out. I don't know.
Yeah, it is what it is.
All right, Jock Peterson.
How crazy was that, dude?
Did you see his interview?
I didn't. You know, I haven't seen. I heard a wrap up of it on a podcast, so I know the basics of everything that kind of happened. Pretty crazy, pretty ridiculous.
I mean, so just by hearing the names, Tommy Pham, Jock Peterson, like I automatically took Jock Peterson's side. He played for the Cubs. Tommy Pham was a Cardinal, like, before any of this, I already had this in my mind that, like, Tommy Pham's a piece of shit. And then digging deeper and finding out about it, what a fucking loser. Like, come on. And then he, like, slapped him, got a 3-game suspension, didn't even, like, appeal it. Like, he knew he was wrong. And, I don't know. Pathetic.
So I found some more details that make it even more kind of ridiculous, and you probably know this, too. So, like, just to set the story. So this is all relating to the fantasy season of COVID. So 2020. Not even last season.
I don't think I knew that.
Yes. So this has been brewing because the whole crux of it is that Austin was taking advantage of their IR rule and hoarding players, essentially. And that was during, you know, obviously everyone remembers the 2020 season and the games getting canceled and, you know, all the emails I was sending about what to do. And it was a very fluid situation, having to do things, you know, on the fly, essentially. So basically accusing him of hoarding players. And then there was some text messages. And I think that Jock was also making fun. I think Tommy was may have been on the Padres at that time.
And yeah, that was kind of funny. Did you see that? Then, did you see what he sent?
I heard someone describe it. I didn't see it. Was it like weightlifters?
Yeah, it was like weightlifters, and it had like the Dodgers and the Giants logos and the Padres logo, and like the weightlifter for the Padres like couldn't do it, and like even Jock was like describing it as like, yeah, the Padres had a great season, but they started falling apart at the end, and then like Tommy's like, I don't know you well enough to for you to make jokes like that. Like, come on, maybe you shouldn't take things so seriously.
Right. Agreed. So he's been holding on to this grudge for 2 years at this time. And I guess the big thing for him was that I guess it's a $10,000 entry fee.
Is that official? That's how much it costs?
Yes. Yeah. It was $10,000.
And this guy has a $7.5 million contract.
It gets better though. So like, and so a degree of competitiveness in a league independent of money, most of us can speak to that in our league as well. Like it's not about the money for some of the people. It's about the prestige of winning and, you know, competitiveness, especially because a lot of us are people. I think most of us have played some degree. Actually, I think everyone's played some degree of competitive sport. So we all get some competitive spirit that goes with it. And obviously these people are competitors at the ultimate level. But the biggest thing is that he felt like Jock was messing with his money. So Tommy actually left the fantasy league because of this season. Second place.
Yep. Again, Tommy Pham is a piece of shit. Sucks in life.
And so he leaves it, which is critical because now you're leaving a league and you're messing with everyone else's money. Also, you're in second place and you're worried about someone hoarding players. Like,
well, I didn't know he was even like in second place.
He was in second place when he left the league. And then of all of this, upset because of the messing with your money, slap him and you get suspended and then you get fined. Forget that you decided to give up on anyway. Just if all this is about the money, you four times as much happened like just reacting like this.
So I got a question for you. Let's assign players from our league on who would be in that situation. Like Turb would be Mike Trout, right? The commissioner who was like, I'm just doing this, but I'm not going to step in and do anything like he was in the first year, right? Who would be the Jock and the Tommy in our league? What's that? You breaking up?
No, I said, I'm thinking. Oh. I don't.
I mean, feel like I would do what I can. And he didn't do anything wrong. Those are the rules. He was trying to get an advantage, right?
I think Weitzman is Jock.
Yeah, okay. I think Weitzman would be the one that would get so upset he would hit someone too, though. No, I can't see him banging anyone.
No. I mean Weitzman was already accused of being with an IR player this year.
Yeah.
With one of the Fournette running backs, I think.
Yeah, in the beginning of the year. Yeah, so Weitzman's definitely Jock. I don't know if we have a Tommy in our league. That's good.
I don't know. Let's keep it there. I don't know if anyone is going to get so angry to resort to violence over it. I don't.
Yeah. So that's good. Let's keep it that way.
But then that brings out and then they drag Mike Trout into this. Yeah. Which is just, I mean, it's just hilarious to begin with because, like, Mike Trout is, like, just on a different level of baseball skill than probably everyone else in this, you know, fantasy football league. And somehow he is the commissioner. And he's just like, I don't give a fuck. And you know what? He's a reluctant commissioner.
Yeah.
New commissioner, but no one else would do it.
Yeah. More, I mean, the moral of the story is Tommy Fan sucks.
Yeah. But that's, you know, I listened to that podcast, that fantasy football conference about, you know, being the commissioner is the worst job. And that's why I encourage everyone to listen to it, to see.
I know.
I mean, I obviously, you know.
Hey, I did 10 years. Talk to me in 7 years if you still want to do it.
Hey, I will always do it because I you know, I'm going to pat myself on the back because I feel like I have a good system going. And yeah, are people going to bitch? People are going to complain? Yes. But are people going to say that I am unfair? No. That's all that matters.
Tommy Pham wants you as his commissioner.
Of course. I don't know. I think most people would. I mean, I provide some entertainment and some emails a couple times a year.
You co-host a podcast.
I co-host a podcast. Bond fashion to issues. I feel like that's a pretty good
there. How was your first visitor from Chicago?
He should be on the podcast to explain how the visit was.
Wow, I'll see him on Friday. I'll talk him into. Yeah, he could talk some F1 next time, maybe.
Never been on, has he?
I don't think so. I don't think he's much interest in, at least not in football. I don't think he'll have much opinion on F1 either. Maybe.
How many times has someone who's come on our show been like really like engaged about talking about football the whole time?
Costa, Turbin. Those are our two people that come on. I know Steve made an appearance once. Jeff made an appearance once.
Yeah, I know, but like
Joey talked football.
Joey talked football for a lot of it. That's 100% sure. But like Rasa was on, he was just saying goose.
Yeah, for sure. yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe we'll have to get one of your doctor friends to come on and talk about F1.
I mean, some of them are really, really into it. Like, my friend Monisha and Falk, they're both physicians. They're coming to Austin for F1, and they bought a 3-day pass. They're watching the whole thing.
Nice.
They're into cars and speed and all that kind of stuff.
Cool. We'll have to have them on. We'll have to make it happen.
I'll have to do some research then, because I don't know anything. I don't have to talk with them.
Oh,
so.
That's the thing. You don't have to. If we bring them on, all we got to do is ask them the questions, and they'll give us the research. Work smarter, not harder, Aaron.
Oh, moral story of my life. I don't know how to work smarter. Just harder.
Yeah, you can try it.
So was it worth staying up that extra hour?
I'll text you tomorrow and tell you how I feel.
See what the whoop recovery is.
I got a tough workout tomorrow. Hopefully I bring it. I told you I was in the middle of a whoop off with Daniel. I whooped his ass today. Thought he'll listen to this.
He'll plot his Mega Driver tomorrow.
His Mega Driver. I think he tried to pull it out yesterday, and so he got up. By the time I woke up, he already went on a run, and his strain was like at 12 or 13. It's based on 21 is like the highest. And then I went for a 6-mile run and blew him out of the water.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, you should join, definitely. It'll change your life for the better. You won't have a double chin anymore. It comes with comes guaranteed with the purchase of the Whoop.
Wow, no more double chin?
Yeah, it was a joke. Huh. But we're recording this the 9th, no 8th. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to post it until after the race this weekend, but we talked a little bit about it. It'll be fun to see how, well, I don't know. I guess we didn't really make any predictions. You going to make any predictions?
You know, I think Leclerc is angry. I think Leclerc pulled out the win this week.
That's not a bad bet.
I think he's pissed off at, he got screwed 2 weeks ago when his engine failed. And then just bad strategy last week.
As you got to look to see if he's won there yet, though.
He's won before, yeah.
He has won at Baku?
I don't know.
No one has been a repeat winner yet. So if he's won there, I don't know if he can pull it off again.
See if is there a way to find the history?
Probably. I don't know. I'm probably weighing too much on that. But I like Leclerc winning this week. I don't know. We'll see how.
What's your prediction? Are you going with that too?
Yeah, I feel like he is kind of due. But I could also see Max getting back in the.
Yeah,
race
let's be real. As you can choose between Max,
but there's some drama. There's some drama with the Red Bull now. You know, like with Checo winning and then making a comment about saying he signed too early, and then Max came out and said something on his blog, and like it's a little bit of drama did you hear what Max said? That
no, what did he say?
He disagreed with the strategy because he was the points. He's like the driver leader, and they didn't strategize. They wasted a chance for him to get 10 points. And it was kind of seems like there's some drama brewing between Red Bull, just the two drivers, just because they're both contenders to win the drive, you know? Like,
it's
and Max being ahead. So
that's what makes it so intriguing about the Formula One in general is that you have two drivers that are independently trying to win but are kind of teammates,
right?
And how to last year or no was Sir no Sergio obviously deferred to Max all the time, but like at some point he wants to come out of his thing, so it's tough. Like, how do you decide? Yeah.
If other drivers are like getting a hold of this drama and they're like, oh, well, if Max is getting upset about Perez winning, let's double team, Max, make things harder for Max, let Perez win, and that'll cause even more drama between that, Red Bull. Like, I feel like there's probably a lot more that goes into it that, we're not even like peeling the layers of it off the onion,
Well, that makes sense for, someone like Leclerc who wants to win it all wants to win the driver championship. Someone like, Hamilton's kind of out of it, I feel like. I don't know, unless he makes a late run. But some of the other, I don't know.
Russell puts up points every week.
Yeah, exactly. So, like,
Lando's been having a pretty good year. Like, it's tough to think about. All right, I really got to go to bed.
All right, man. Pleasure as always.
Yeah, man. We'll do it again soon.